This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 336, The Dancin' Dracula Show. I'm Lisa Sheps, along with my marvelous and beautiful and pungently dressed co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the... What? On the air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, November 17th. On the show today, we have our very good friends from different stages. They're going to talk about Dracula. And also, we're going to be talking to both Tapestry Dance Company and Balance Dance Studios about their partnership and their new space, or their new and changing space. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, in New York, in Chicago, in Fredonia, and in my mind. Don't go away. Well, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to today, to Wednesday.
Why, thank you.
I giggle. It's our own little secret. We'll just leave it us. But before we check in, I just need I struggled really hard with talking about Paris on this show. I really... My initial intention was to not talk about it at all, but it's on everybody's mind. And as you look at the attacks that happened there, they started in a theater. People that were there to go be entertained. They were not expecting any kind of political statement to be made with their lives. So after that, and after talking to Nicole...
I wanted to say thank you for playing that.
Yeah.
For me. Not only do I love that song and I had my first kiss in Paris. I got to go to school there and study Marcel Marceau. Like, I have a big love for it. And I love that song. I love that show. And I think I appreciate you playing that.
I think Paris is special. I mean, there's so few people I think that Paris is not special to.
So many people have said to me, oh my God, that's the place we go with our family. Oh, that. More people have had, a special moment in Paris than I've heard about other cities or places.
So I think I'd like to just say that Offstage On the Air stands in solidarity with the people of Paris, with the theater community in Paris. I am sure that they are rocked. I'm sure people that are going into theaters, the size of many of the theaters that we have here in Austin, take a second thought as they take their seats. So we're with you guys.
Yes.
Je suis Paris. All right. I'm checking in with you, Nicole.
Well, hello.
Hello. Okay.
I'm good. I'm excited. Texans won football.
Oh, woo! I love Texans. J.J. Watt is my favorite.
J.J. Watt.
Corrine.
Yeah, he made a comment I didn't like yesterday. He was kind of a bully. So
yeah, well,
I'm a little
there you go.
Mixed
Me
with
too.
Him. But he showed up and played, and he hasn't done that. So
there yeah. you go.
You win, you lose. What can you do?
He threw that football. He made a home run. He did
one of the worst teams in the league. We're tied in our division for first place, and we beat the undefeated Bengals. So I am all about that for Monday night.
There you go. Me too. Not really.
I know. You're just so excited about that football.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what a great remix today.
Oh my goodness. That Tracy Schultz. He just...
It was a wonderful show he
every
did.
Every week pulls another great episode out.
Yeah.
And I always love our chit-chats we actually have with Tracy before we go on.
We do. We do have lovely chit-chats. And it's no exception today. We
no,
had a chit-chat with
we
him.
We did.
Absolutely.
That is no lie.
It is no lie. Mm-mm. So let's introduce who's here with us in the studio. Shall we?
We shall.
Melissa Vogt.
Hello.
Hey, Taylor Flanagan.
Hello.
James Specht.
Yo.
Yo. Rebecca Robinson. The one and the only.
She just stopped
Slide
and
a microphone
wait.
Over to her.
Waffle.
Oh, my gosh. Nothing but class with Rebecca Robinson. That's the one good thing we have to say about her. Sandy Burton, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And Etta Sanders.
Hello.
and Kathy Dupuy.
Hello.
God, did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Yay, I did.
Way to go.
Okay.
Good job.
Great. So welcome to the show, everybody. I do need to say that if you are not listening to the podcast, you should.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, please. You should really be listening to the podcast. That's where you learn a little bit more about some of our guests that you don't hear on the broadcast. You can get the podcast by subscribing to us in iTunes, Stitcher. We'll send it to you.
That's right. Best way.
Yeah, we'll just send it to you.
Get Lisa and Nicole. They arrive in your mailbox. We're delivered. Voila.
Voila.
We are there.
Go right to offstageonair.com.
And you know what else is? When you're on the iTunes downloading the podcast, you should leave some comments.
Leave us a review because
like,
we
say something.
Say something. We want to know you're out there. It's very, very lonely. So we should do that. We did that. The weather.
There is like social media Twitter feed going on in here. They must be for all the comments they are leaving at this moment.
Oh,
hashtag Lisa's
comments.
Wacky.
That's totally what we're doing.
Okay. Yep.
So we did have, I should say that the weather today is just delightful. All right.
It was a very wonky day, but yes.
No, it is a wonky day.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
good
remember,
thing,
it's Wednesday, everybody.
I know.
Wednesday, it's hump day.
Hump day.
Woo! All right, let's get on with the show. We're several minutes into it, and we have not really talked about theater yet.
I was just about to say we've covered everything, but yep. You forgot to let me know what's going on with the stocks.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're having a delightful time. Do we really need to?
Yeah. The stock market is up. So we had two Broadway openings and one off-Broadway opening that I would like to speak about.
Yes, yes.
One of the Broadway openings, actually, we should start actually in chronological order, and that's going to be View from the Bridge, which I realize I have never read nor seen nor knew anything about. Arthur
I was
Miller.
About to say you really have read it, but you haven't read it. Really?
I have not done anything. I'm really show my ignorance on this show. Anybody else like me? Not.
I share your ignorance.
Thank you.
I also share your ignorance.
Rebecca's got a look. You've read it, seen it.
Were you in
microphone?
It? Were you in it?
She's being Marcel Marceau. She is like totally doing a call out to.
Which is funny because I know Rebecca can speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the critics loved this one. And it opened at the Lyceum Theater last Friday, Saturday.
I'm gonna say it was Wednesday.
One of those days. It
was
opened.
Wednesday because it was after our show, last show, last week.
And are you familiar with the show?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yes, I know the show.
Yeah,
you'd probably sit here and talk to me and go, oh, yeah, I'd remember new things, but.
Yeah, no. Well, let me read you a couple of things that Ben Brantley said. It said that the show at the Lyceum Theater takes you into extreme emotional territory that you seldom dare visit in daily life.
Oh, I like that.
And so this is another little paragraph that I really thought was great. At the end of this uninterrupted 2 hours, you are wrung out, scooped out, and so exhausted that you're wide awake. You feel ridiculously blessed to have been witnessed to this terrible events you just saw.
I like that.
That's a dichotomous statement.
Yes, it
and
is.
Feel free to use that term.
But that's the way I like that. I mean, I personally, that's how I want to feel after I've gone and
so the scenery the set was sort of interesting. That the audience was on two sides. I don't know if there's anybody know if there's like a word for that.
Thrust or modified thrust?
It's got to be a modified
thrust. Thrust is three sides.
I would say modified thrust.
I'd like to call it a race car set. A racetrack set.
That's what they've got going on for King Lear.
Yes. Yeah. You know. Same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's just the way things are going. So this
the trend. It's trending.
There you go.
Heard it here first.
This piece was directed by someone who I have not heard of, and I'm going to butcher his name. I'm assuming it's a he. Ivo Van Hove.
No, we've talked about Ivo.
I believe he's of the Memphis Van Hoves.
Right. I would believe that.
And it's the lead guy playing the role that is the lead, which I don't know what it is an actor by the name of Mark Strong who does a really wonderful job. People are laughing at me.
Strong.
No, just a little.
I said Strong.
We're laughing with
Strong.
You.
Yes.
No idea.
Yeah, it's not pronounced Mark. It's Mark.
Mark. All the actors in this piece are barefoot. Oh. And evidently, and again, I'm not familiar with the show, there's the one character who's outside the piece that's played like a narratory kind of thing. And he sits on a fence, which is evidently outside the stage. But at one point, he comes in. And when he comes in to the one door that leads onto the set, takes his shoes off.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You just ruined it, by the way.
I did.
That well, effect is ruined for
you cannot blame me.
No You're, spoiler alert or anything. No warning.
Your beef is not with me. It is with Mr. Ben Brantley.
Okay.
His Thanks, email address ben. Is ben.brantley@nytimes.com.
Thank you.
Because... Because the last paragraph, which is my favorite paragraph in review, says there's a wonderful moment in which Alfieri, who hitherto has been perched on the rails of the fence offstage from the audience, steps through the set's single door and into the action. Yes, he takes his shoes off to do so. He is now racing side by side with the Carbonis on the road to doom, and so, heaven help us, are we.
Thus the dun, race car.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
Right. View from a bridge. That was a football tune, but okay.
What?
Find out next week what happens.
Exactly. So,
You love doing that. I it do cracks love me doing up that. And you have a mischievous look every time you do it. I'm waiting for the maniacal laugh to come with it.
Okay, the other thing that opened was Misery.
Yeah, that seemed like it's a Misery. That is Misery. Not very nice.
Bruce Willis in his Broadway debut along with Laurie Metcalf.
Who is
which is not her Broadway debut.
No.
And so, again, Ben Brantley, though it is based on one of Stephen King's most terrifying novels, the stage version of Misery will not, I promise, leave you cold with terror. Not a big fan of Mr. Willis.
But, yeah, I was about to say it's Bruce. Normally, yeah. I just it wasn't really nice. I
You're
didn't even
speechless.
Print it out. I was reading it like this is not good.
Yeah, well, and you know what?
Sometimes what you do on film just does not translate. Just doesn't do it.
Well, I don't
which
think
is this
which
is
one of
the material he should have chosen for the first time. I mean, that's a lot of on stage.
Well,
time
they also say that
the
playwriting of this, the writing of the script was not all that great. And it was written by the same guy who wrote the screenplay for the movie, which was evidently very good. I haven't seen it.
William Goldman?
Hmm?
Sorry, William Goldman, right?
Possibly.
I think that might be right, actually.
I can tell you in a second.
Princess Bride.
Really? No, I didn't know that. Okay, that's new. Written by William Goldman, yes.
Yeah,
wrote the Princess.
I would
trust Jack. You know what I have to say to that? That's inconceivable. I just had a discussion yesterday. We'll digress for just a moment. The Princess Bride. Oh, I just remembered what it is. So I now know the answer. What's the name? What's the character's name that Wally Shawn played? The inconceivable. What's that character's name?
Vincent something.
Vincent. Oh my God! I just had it. Now I lost it again.
It'll come to you.
Anyway,
it'll come back again.
Anyway,
Vanzini, yeah.
Yeah. See, Dracula, 2 for 2.
So, yeah. I bet the Tapestry and Balance people didn't know that this was a competition.
I got all excited too, though.
No, I
meant
him, like specifically.
But one of the things they talked about is that there is no suspense. You keep thinking that Stephen King, or not Stephen King, that the character, I forgot the name, that Bruce Willis plays, is just like the Die Hard movies. He's going to be okay in the end, no matter what she does to him.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. So
I like a good Die Hard movie. I'll admit it. I mean,
I like the first one.
But the first one's good. Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
So that was that. The other thing that opened off-Broadway was Henry IV.
Yeah.
And this is the Donmar Warehouse version of it. And Donmar Warehouse is the company in England, London, I believe.
I believe you're correct.
I believe it's in the old Donmar Warehouse.
I believe you might be correct.
I don't know that that's true. But anyway, this is an all-female version of Henry IV. They did the same thing with Julius Caesar years ago.
Yeah.
And a wonderful review in this. And this is set in a women's prison. So it's a show within a show. Voila.
All right.
Okay. It's at St. Anne's Warehouse on Water Street. And again, intermission free, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Ooh. What up with this, kids?
Well, but movies. I mean, you'll sit through The Hobbit for 5 million years.
No, I won't.
No, I won't either.
I mean, like, I will definitely miss a chunk of it because I'm like, nope, gotta get.
If it's over 2.5 hours, I won't go see it at a theater. I'll wait.
My rule is 90 minutes without an intermission.
If it were good, I would.
I know. I was joking. I was using a bad example.
It's a terrible movie.
The Hobbit wasn't a good example, but that's true. We sit through 2 hours of a movie and without complaining. And I remember back in the day when I went to see Gone with the Wind, which is a 4-hour movie. Yeah. It had an intermission after 2 hours.
Yeah. Even when they used to show it on TV, they would do intermission and have the curtains and like music playing, and you'd be like, "Oh, I have 15 minutes to run around the house."
Personally, I think with a show, Gone with the Wind, at intermission, they should wait till the next day because, you know why?
No. Tell me, Lisa.
Tomorrow is another day.
Yes. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You can tell we appreciated that one.
All right. So I have nothing. I do. I'm going to read you the final paragraph because it's
wonderful. You don't have any words today?
No words.
Really?
I thought I was going to have words, but then I didn't have words. What Nicole is talking about is there's a epidemic amongst theater critics to write erudite reviews with words that you need a dictionary to know what they are. So
what does erudite mean?
Exactly. Let me just put it this way. They're very sesquipedalial with their words.
Oh, why didn't you say
and you're
so?
Like, really? I was told, really?
Sesquipedalial, by the way, actually, it's so not, that's not the proper speech. I don't think it's sesquipedalian.
Sesquipedalianism.
Yes,
oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Say that into a microphone.
Using more syllables than one needs.
Yeah. Hyper polysyllabic sesquipedalianism.
There you go. Zing.
Shazam. That was awesome.
All right. Next week on Words with Lisa. So the final paragraph of this one is another wonderful review. It's a multi-layered act of liberation. Prisoners are allowed to roam the wide field of Shakespeare's imagination. Fine actresses are given the chance to play meaty roles that have been denied them, and we get to climb out of the straitjackets of our traditional perceptions of a venerated play.
Mm.
I will repeat. Zing.
Zing.
So, I just looked at how long we've gone.
I don't think you've ever looked at a clock and felt that way.
I have. What else do I want to talk about? Sheer Madness.
Oh, my gosh. My mom was bananas on it today because the woman, it was all conceived in Schenectady, New York, and she was on and on and on. I'm like, yes, Mom.
Actually, well, but it opened in Chicago. My roommate was in Boston.
Yes.
And I had not realized it had not played New York, which is crazy.
Not bananas.
So now it's open in New York, off Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Jordan, who, by the way, is a wackadoo, because I met him when Mark was doing the show. But it's opening New World Stages on November 11th. So my guess is it's already opened.
Yes, it already is. That's why she was.
If I'm doing my math properly.
They had a thing on the news about the woman was opening. So
but has anybody seen Sheer Madness? It was done here for quite a while as well.
Yes.
Anybody?
Yes, Crickets. I have. Raising my hand.
Crickets. Yeah. Okay.
It's fun.
Zing.
Zing.
The other thing that I know you're going to love is this thing about Rosie O'Donnell's kids and Michelle Obama.
Oh,
did you see that?
With the White House?
No.
Oh.
That's a different thing.
That was the different
but that's
thing.
Pretty incredible.
That was, that was the Monday night with Jennerworth and his name. But you're talking about the Rosie's kids.
Rosie's Theater Kids has a national prize today. It's given out by Michelle Obama. And I thought that that was pretty cool.
Her Rosie's Kids program is pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you explain it in a word or two?
She makes sure that there is arts curriculum for children in New York. I think they've expanded outside New York now, actually. But the kids get to be trained and have classes with Broadway actors. And they basically, since the schools don't have theater classes anymore, she has after-school theater classes. And the kids get one-on-one time with professionals in the Broadway world.
Wow. That's great.
And how cool it is
for... She's been doing it for almost 10 years, maybe a little over 10 years now.
How cool is it for Mariana Botier, who is a 15-year-old that received the award from Michelle? at the White House.
Pretty cool. Yeah, there was a lot of kids in the thing Monday that happened to be performing. That's why I brought up Monday. Sorry.
Right. So the Monday, tell people what you're talking about, because that was pretty darn cool, too. And then I think we have to move on.
Matthew Morrison and Kristen Chenoweth had an
Chenoweth.
Chenoweth, sorry.
You're thinking of Mrs. Butterworth.
I am thinking of Mrs. Butterworth. I actually think I printed who else was there, but they had a whole evening in the White House they do this theater program called Broadway at the White House. So they brought in tons of other theater people and the shows that were performed in it were, I lost that page. I didn't print both pages.
All right, just do it by memory. Go by memory.
My memory's not working on that one. My little.
All right, well, it's a really cool thing. They had a whole bunch of performances.
Funhouse was one.
Yeah, the whole bunch of performances around the White House, and they were like all over the place. The photo stuff for it showed them. Everywhere.
See, they're in the garden. They're in front of the mirror.
See, listeners? Do you see that, listeners?
You see, I'm passing it around.
I usually show it to the microphone.
She does normally show it to the microphone like this.
And then she rips it.
Yeah. Well, you will be happy to know, Ms. Nicole Shiro.
We could link that article, I bet.
We could. School of Rock and Color Purple, your two favorite Broadway shows that are in previews. Did very well in the box office.
They're slamming at the box office.
Well,
not
quite a million each, but they did quite well
for previews. Not bad.
Yeah, very very good. And On Your Feet, second week, 1.3 million. I'm going to round up.
Yes. And you said the name of the song, so she will be in my head all day. Thank
you. Okay. So the top grossing shows, I bet you can guess what they are. Anybody? Anybody guess?
Hamilton.
Hamilton's one. And the other two have been the top grossing for years.
Lion King. Wicked.
But here's something I didn't know. Lowest grossing shows.
I hate to say it, but I think Spring Awakening's on there, and that's not good.
But they're not doing well.
No,
Dames
they're not
at
doing.
Sea.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Hand of God and Fool for Love. I just found that interesting.
Hand of God, really?
Yeah.
People aren't liking the Bob Saget in it, huh?
Yeah, and what's his name? The guy that Stephen, who originated the role, was on The Good Wife this week.
He was. I was going to ask you.
Just
you
saying.
See that.
So let's go straight to our trivia question. Okay. Trivia question we're going to ask right now. We ask that our studio audience do not answer it, because the answer will be given at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage on the podcast.
Okay.
And we'll have our chance to guess.
Okay, this is totally random and really cool. They're Playing Our Song in 1979.
They're Playing Our Song.
Told the tale of collaboration and attraction between neurotic composer Vernon, played by Robert Klein, and wacky lyricist Sonia, played by Lucy Arnaz. The plot was inspired by the real-life relationship between composer Martin Hamlisch and lyricist Carol Bayer Sager. Neil Simon handled the laugh-filled libretto. Arnaz got good notes as Sonia, but wasn't the first choice for the role. Who was?
Who got good notes?
Neil Simon.
Okay. So
what did I say?
Neil Simon wasn't.
Arnaz got good notes.
Oh, Arnaz.
Sorry.
Okay,
Arnaz
sorry.
Got
Lucy
Neil
Arnaz.
Simon handled the laugh filled libretto. Sorry,
got it.
I said the wrong line. Arnaz got good notices as Sonia, but wasn't the first choice for the role. Who was it? A. Stockard Channing. B. Ellen Green. C. Judy Kaye. D. Meryl Streep. Or E. Joanna Gleason. And may I say, A through E are all pretty awesome ladies.
Yep.
So I was like, all right. I don't know myself.
So we will answer that at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage. So make sure you get the podcast to do that. If you're listening to the podcast right now, just hang tight. You'll get there.
It'll be
You'll
coming.
You'll get there. All right, so we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to, we're learning a little bit about blood-sucking vampires.
I like that.
Sounds good. So I have no idea why I chose this, but here it is.
But you did.
At the Villa of the Baron.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the air on KOOP Hornsby Austin. It is Wednesday.
Yes,
just
November
to be
18th.
November 18th. We have been talking to Nicole Shiro, of course, Melissa Vogt, Taylor Flanagan, SM. God, it says SM. What is it? JM Spect. Etta Sanders, Catherine Dupuy, and dun-da-da-da, saving the best for last, Sandy Burton. So let's just jump right in and talk vampires, shall
Please
we?
Please do.
So... Dracula at, it says, a yes. Different Stages production.
Oh. It is indeed.
At the Vortex. Two of my favorite companies all home together. And Melissa Vogt, you are the director of this piece.
That is correct.
And this is written by sort of a, he's local.
He is.
Didn't start out local, but he's local now, Stephen
right,
Dietz.
Stephen Dietz.
And what an incredible resume this man has. He wrote it in 2006, 2009, something like that.
1990-something.
Yeah, 1996.
Let's say
you
96.
You just want to get that six in there.
Six, any six, year in the late 90s. In the latter of the 90s.
So I think most folks are familiar with Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Indeed.
What's the skinny with this version?
Oh, is it 1996? Oh,
yeah. Thank you, Taylor. Oh, Lisa, you had like Roger.
That's one for you
hands.
And two for Dracula. You're catching up fast.
I read Wikipedia today.
So I'm sorry. What was the question?
So what's the skinny with this one?
Ah, what's the skinny? So Dietz did a really great job of condensing this kind of long and epic tale of
epic for sure.
Yeah, of Dracula and the journey and the chase and all of that into two acts. Some of that entailed combining some characters. So really we only see one of the suitors, and that's okay. Dr. Seward. And he kind of takes the role of both Morris and Holmwood on. And, of course, we get to see live the action that happens with Dracula, which, if you have read the novel,
haven't.
Is only ever talked about by other people. And the novel is all in letters.
It's beautiful.
And
Lisa.
Journal entries.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah. So translating that into live action, I imagine, is actually rather difficult to do. But Dietz did just an amazing job of it. And it moves so fast, and the action is so intense. And it's quite a cinematic script as well. There's lots of underscoring. There's video projection. And just the action just moves boom, boom, boom from one thing to another.
So is Stephen Dietz involved in this production at all?
Oh, we've talked to him a little bit. Yeah. But I would say really this is our interpretation of the script.
Cool. Yeah, and I need to tell the listening audience that you made a little evil grin when you said
yes,
that.
Yes, she did.
Well, it is at the vault.
Well, so that is there's an interesting question, because the Vortex is known for a certain type of theater, and Different Stages is known for a certain type of theater, and you don't necessarily see those two.
The two they don't always
they're sort of different
intermix. Yeah,
but are we getting a little Vortexian with this? Because you are Vortexian.
I am a Vortexian.
Yeah, and she herself is Vortexian.
I am.
Yeah. And you sesquipedaliate every now and then.
I guess so.
See a doctor.
Yes. Yeah. I would say that the way that I look at things, as far as even just the set itself goes, is perhaps not as literal as what you would see in the script. There's not going to be a lot of period furniture involved. And
does that mean it's not taking? So are you doing it period?
Yeah. We're doing it, period. Okay. It's just because the place moves to about 10 different locations all in, you know, the matter of a couple of hours, we have to be using space in a very interesting way. So I think that will be exciting for the audience
Sounds
to see.
Intriguing.
How many
yeah.
people are in the cast?
There's 11.
Wow.
That's still a good size.
That's big for a straight play. That's huge for a straight play.
Definitely.
And Taylor, what do you play?
Oh, I play Mina.
Oh, you're going to talk to me?
Oh, hello. yeah, I play Mina Murray.
Mina Murray.
That's a good role.
That's a good role?
It is.
She is the lady.
Is she the one that got bitten?
Yes. There's multiple people that get bitten. Yeah. She's one of the bitten, yeah.
And James Specht, I'm guessing you played Dracula.
I play Dracula's butler, Steve Donahue. Uh-huh.
Steve Donahue the butler. I love that.
Yeah, it's an old Transylvanian name.
Been passed down from generation to generation.
Tell us about that character, Steve Donahue. What's his backstory?
Well, Steve was raised... as a butler.
Okay. Well, this is that's actually
it's a Dracula.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take this is a good time to take a little sidebar, sidebar. We're going to go off on a tangent.
Okay.
Go and JM, I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 29 and 44.
Between 29 and 44,
yes.
I'm going to go with 42.
I knew you would have to. You would choose something in the upper registers.
Okay. Thank you.
Stand by. We're going to see what that is and see if I know how to operate things in Studio One. Here we go.
This is Jason Williams, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
There you go, Jason
we
Williams.
We haven't heard the straight Jason. We get him playing multiple different characters.
And it's hard to see the straight Jason.
Yeah, I was about to say, there was just, there you go.
So that's good. So y'all are prepared to do a little scene, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, in unison.
Exciting.
Harmony. Set up the scene.
Yeah, we're so in sync.
Set up the scene.
We're so in sync. Oh.
This scene happens later in the show, so things have already gotten pretty intense. The play goes through some different journeys, and it's gotten dark at this point. So,
Okay, so this is a dark section.
This is a dark section for me. I don't know about Dracula. It might be
so,
like
so. This
one
is
of the
high point of the play. This
Dracula.
Is where things are really going well. Things are taking off. All the nerds are dead. It's about to get good.
I'll tell you what, JM. I don't trust anything you say, but.
Very smart.
Let's listen. This is James Specht and Edison. And Taylor Flanagan doing a scene from different stages production of Dracula.
Miss Mina, my beautiful flower.
What are you?
I have dined with kings. I have commanded nations. I have watched time chisel lines into the faces of young women. But time shall never scar you with its hand. You are for the ages.
No, you won't.
Yes, I quite like it here. The men of England live lives of order and reason. Not a ripple disturbs the still surface of their complacency. But still water soon grows fetid, you see, giving rise to disease. The complacent man is my puppet, and his lover my bride.
But why me? Only tell me, what have I done?
You are their treasure. You stir their dreams, leaving envy in your wake. All of them, Mina, not just your betrothed. They all desire your love. And now you, their best, most beloved flower, are mine. Blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh, my beautiful, bountiful wine press. Oh, you are weak now, but here is strength. Here is sustenance. Here is life. Drink and be mine. When I but whisper, come to me, you shall travel the ages to do my bidding. You shall cross oceans of time.
Thank you.
That was great.
That was hot. Intense, right?
I love this
story. Did somebody
story,
say hot? Yeah, you
so,
said it was hot. Yeah. Somebody said it was hot. It was hot.
Thank you.
It was hot.
Vampire thing.
Oh, my.
Is it hot in here? Is it just me? Woo.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Aren't your director good? Must be incredible.
She does very well.
Yeah, they're just good. They're amazing.
Well, where can folks go? Well, first of all, before we do that, when do you open? Have
we
you opened?
We open this Friday.
This
we
Friday.
Open on the 20th.
Dun, 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 dun.
And we run through December 12th. We do not have a show on Thanksgiving, but we are doing a Wednesday night show on December 9th.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's right.
Industry Night. And where can folks go to get more information about this?
Gosh. I'm so glad
I can tell you if you want.
No, they should go to Different Stages website, right. www.maine.org/diffstages.
Yeah, congratulations. I usually have to do that even
when Norman is
there.
I was like, she normally has to do that for Norman, so that was impressive.
That's why I was on my phone. I'm like, oh, man, their website's a little confusing, so yeah. I'm going to pull it up and see it.
And it is indeed at the Vortex.
It is indeed at the Vortex. You can also buy tickets directly if you go to www.vortexrep.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us here at Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you.
For having us.
Hopefully you will stick around and join us backstage. I know, Melissa, you might have to boot scoot.
Yeah.
It's tech week.
It's tech week. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, JM.
It's tech week, JM.
We will be right back. Don't go away. This is sort of a fun song.
In sweep the vampires in, creep the vampires knee.
Okay, I have to stop it because there's a nasty word in this. So
Rebecca sings that all the time.
Do you really, Rebecca? No, she's...
You can't see her, like, driving around, singing it?
This is the silent Rebecca. So what's going on locally there, young Nicole Shiro?
I think you may. Do you have stuff too or no?
I don't. I did
not.
Oh,
okay, cool.
And I just cut and paste from last week, so none of this is...
Well, you know, my old neighbor, Mr. Cinnamon Path Theater Man, I had to...
Max Langer,
I know,
we like to call him.
I was about to say Mr. Max Langer, but they're the Cinnamon Path Theater and the Ground Floor Theater. They have a little Night of Squid going on. That would be the 19th of November.
That is this Thursday night.
Yes, that is Thursday.
And I will say that this is a benefit to benefit the Autism Society of Austin.
Central Texas and their 25th anniversary.
Right. And we have a lovely exhibit in our lobby done by autistic people on the spectrum, their artwork. And it's marvelous. That's totally worth seeing.
I think it looks cool. Although
Sorry.
Ground Floor Theater.
Ground Floor Theater. Great. I do want to put out there, though, that it has adult themes in it because we like to tell.
The lineup seems really fun. One of the people that I'll just, one little tease of it is Luna Tart, who I just love. I adore Luna Tart.
Yeah, I know. I was seeing all this kind of stuff, and, you know, I can always hear them rehearsing behind me at Cinnamon Path Theater, so that made me excited.
There you go. Right there on Cinnamon Path. Yes. Got one more?
I had one more. Hyde Park Theater, The Dumb Waiter by Harold Pinter.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, I know. I love that. Pinter.
But wait, let's take a pause and think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello? Anybody with me?
Yeah, I was with you.
All right.
So, you know, that's what I have going on. Yeah.
Perfect.
And, yeah.
Did you guys talk about King Lear already? I went and saw that. It's...
Talk about it. We put the microphone closer to you.
I think we said it was playing, but we didn't talk about going, so go ahead.
This is the hidden room, King Lear. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it's transporting. Like, I felt like I got to see a whole piece of history that I wasn't really that familiar with, and it was also really delightful. So, anyway, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, King Lear, hidden room, they always do some really incredible things. They're at some, I keep forgetting the name of it, but it's like, I want to say the Scottish Rite, but it's not the Scottish Rite. It's some other...
Cool old hall. And cool, you know what? Hall. Now the name is escaping me. Yeah. And I can see
it's the on 7th Street.
Yeah, I can see the
Google Hidden Room King Lear. You'll find out where it is.
Yes. And it was up on Now Playing Austin. And
now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to yesterday in theater history.
Dun, 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 dun.
Just for the heck of it, I'm going to do Tuesday's
theater.
You better
have one of those on there for me.
What?
You better be something on there for me because I know. There's something I know what happened today, and I hope you say it.
Yesterday. Yeah. Yes. Okay. If I don't, I'm counting on you to say it.
I'll chime in.
This is the birthday of Lee Strasberg.
Oh, bon anniversaire.
His son, by the way, was a guest on this show, as was Lucy Arnaz.
That's part of why I chose Lucy.
Yeah. As was Stephen Dietz.
As was, yes.
No, he wasn't really. I just made that up. So this is, and that happened, that was in 1901. And 1902, this is the novelist William Churchill.
Interesting.
Not the one you're thinking. It says no relation.
Oh, it does say no relation. Okay.
And that's the only reason why I mentioned it, because it was a fun name. He turns his best-selling story, The Crisis, into a four-act play.
Yeah, but also the year probably didn't work either, now that I'm thinking about the year you said.
True, 1902.
Yeah.
1921... Florence Ziegfeld opened a naughtier version of his follies called the Ziegfeld Midnight Frolic. In 1962, Little Me, starring Sid Caesar, opened.
Yeah.
And everybody might remember a few years ago, there was a, what's it called when they revive it?
Revival.
A revival.
The one with Martin.
Resurrection.
With Martin Short. Yeah.
The Resurrection, yes.
They resurrected it.
That's what Mr. Short was in that.
And interesting, in 1991, Blue Man Group first started. They opened.
Not bananas.
And I saw it around 1991.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
In the little, in the Astor Place Theater. Sunset Boulevard got rave reviews. That's Andrew Lloyd Webber. Speaking of School of Rock.
Yes.
School of Rock, Andrew Lloyd Webber. I'm sorry.
Hey, man. Superstars, one of the greatest musicals of all time. I want to make fun of him, and then I remember Superstar.
Okay, so is it? Did you want to talk about The Year of Frog and Toad?
Nope.
Okay, but that was 2002, Year of Frog and Toad opened. And let's see. I skipped a whole bunch here.
Bill Russell?
It's later.
Okay.
Wait, I thought I had it. Yes, that's later. That's okay. 2014. That was just last year, no. Silly.
Yeah, well,
two years ago. Last year. 2 years ago. Last Revival. Year. 2 years ago. Yeah. I don't know.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
No, it was last year because it closed January this year.
Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder opened
yes.
In 2013, which I really liked that show. 2014, why don't you go tell people what happened then?
Sideshow, one of the greatest musicals of all time by Bill Russell, was revived.
Was revived. It was, no, it was revived. Resurrected.
Resurrected.
hold on, checking the time. Okay, we better get moving. And then today's birthdays, Martin Scorsese, Brent Carver, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who I worked with in Oh Brother, shares the same year of my birth. 1983.
What's that year of in Chinese zodiac?
The dog.
The dog.
The dog. And it really wasn't 1983, by the way. All right. So let's hear a little bit of Sid Caesar. I don't know if this is actually Sid Caesar, but this is from Little Me.
I'm Eleanor Duja. You'll be a
welcome back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps here on Co-op Radio in the lovely town of Austin, Texas. We just got finished talking to the folks over at Different Stages. That was Melissa Vogt, Taylor Flanagan, and J.M. Specht. And now we're going to move on to our good friends with Tapestry Dance Company and Balance Dance Studio, who's got some news to talk about. And that is Etta Sanders and Sandy Burton from Tapestry. Etta is the executive director.
That's correct.
And Sandy Burton is the chair of the board.
Yes, ma'am.
And she's very good at sesquipedaliating.
Yeah, she pulled that one out.
And from Balance Dance Studio, Kathy Dupuis.
Dupuis.
Yes. And you are the goddess of that studio, are you not?
I like goddess.
I am. I'm the founder, executive director, Girl Friday.
Yeah.
Anything
sweeper,
and everything.
Chief bottle washer.
Yeah, cook and bottle
whatever.
Washer.
That's what I was trying to come up
yeah.
with. So the interesting thing, we've been talking on this program a lot about spaces and how they're drying up. We are losing, Salvage Vanguard is losing their space in June. We're going to lose Doherty. We are going to lose Off Center. We are hemorrhaging spaces. And at the same time we learned about Salvage Vanguard, we got official notice that Tapestry was losing their space.
Yeah.
But y'all found a home, didn't you?
Yeah. We're really, really fortunate.
Yeah, I think this is what happened is really, really cool. And I think it's a great path that this city can start to take. So please
there
tell
was
people
a lot of
about this story.
Serendipity about
yeah,
it.
Definitely.
I mean, it really was magical timing and just really unexpected. So we were all pretty excited when it started happening, and we were literally looking at each other, going, "Is this really happening?"
And it happened so fast.
So yeah. tell folks what
okay.
happened.
So our building was bought, and the people that owned it before us. Or not before, so we never owned it. People that owned it didn't give any indication that they were thinking about selling. They were going to be, they wanted to be landlords, not selling their property. So they sold it, and the new people that bought it are not interested in being landlords. They want to occupy the building. So we immediately started, you know, looking for what we could do, and there's just not a lot of real estate out there right now. And so at this exact same time, Balance said, you know, we would like you to help us with our TAP program. And so we went over there and we met with Kathy, and it just kind of all worked out. We went in to see, you know, could we put our classes into their place? And we could.
Yeah, because you had a pretty full schedule, I would think, and Balance also has a pretty – I looked at both of your schedules. So that had to be – y'all probably had to work pretty hard to make those schedules match.
Yeah, it was a lot of puzzle pieces that we had to put together. But the really exciting part of it is that our students now are benefiting from over 140 classes a week.
Wow.
And they now have Tapestry conducting their incredible TAP program. And they're able to take all sorts of other genres at the same time. And there's adult recreational and fitness dance classes. There's a youth, you know, competitive and performing programs, partner dancing. There's just so many options now available to the students. And it's been really neat to create this South Austin Dance Hub.
That is actually pretty cool.
So awesome.
So you were also fortunate, I'm guessing, that you weren't cannibalizing each other's classes. So
it's actually quite remarkable. When we did a comparison of our students and their students, there wasn't an overlap. So they were able to brand their classes enough, and we were able to brand our classes enough that they were separate. And so putting them all under one roof has been really beneficial because there's a cross-pollination that's happening. And I think the other neat thing is that we're nonprofit and they're for-profit.
And what I was going to say is the whole nonprofit-profit venture is so cool, so I'm so glad you just brought that up.
And also, Kathy is the property owner. With all that's going on in the arts with space, all these places are losing their space because they're not owned. Right. And the security that comes with owning the building and owning the real estate especially with someone like Kathy who believes in our mission, is really just we couldn't ask for something better.
Kathy, yeah. The studio is pretty new too. I mean, that's a top of the line facility that you have there. Am I correct?
It is. We're going into this is really our fourth season, but the second building we purchased and opened in January of this year. So we're very new with our Bravo Theater. We initially had five studios in the first building, and then we added three additional studio spaces, including the Black Box Theater in the second building. So we really wanted to finish it out in a very high-end way. So we didn't want to rent. We wanted to own the building if we were going to invest that much in the finish out.
That's the way to do it. I know from personal experience. So let's talk about the two companies. So we'll start with you, Kathy. What is it that Balance Dance Studio?
Studios, yes.
What do they do? What do you do?
Yes. We have a really full range of programs. We have about 100 youth classes, all genres. We have four performing companies. We also have a very strong adult program. We have almost 40 adult dance and fitness classes. And then we have a resident partner dance program as well. So we just really want to offer a lot of variety. Anyone and everyone who wants to dance, we want to provide a place for them. We have an enormous amount of renters too. So we have a lot of people that have their companies and programs within our space. And we just really want it to be a collaborative environment.
All right. So where can folks go to get information about Balance?
BalanceDanceStudios.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
And tell folks where it is exactly.
We're at the corner of Westgate and Lamar. Mm-hmm. So right across the street from Central Market, but under 290 where Westgate dead ends into Greenbelt right there.
So the I'm guessing then that Tapestry didn't have to go too far.
No. It was right.
Did y'all rent
the
a truck?
Oh, or no,
did
we just carried everything
over?
On our backs and walked straight across the street.
No, you slapped your way right across there. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, so you were in that, you were right on Western Trails, I believe.
Yeah. And less than a mile away. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that was just so kismet about it, is that our students don't have to go very far. Yeah. They're just going right across the road. And the thing that worked out so well is that we had so much capacity, because we had seven studios, and they have seven studios, eight now. And yeah. So what we found is that people, because traffic in Austin is terrible.
Haven't noticed.
Yeah, it's terrible. No one will drive more than 5 miles to get to anywhere. And so we were not able to meet our capacity. And Kathy was having issues trying to meet hers because we're just too close to each other. And the double overhead was really hurting both of us. And so now that we're sharing that, it's been wonderful.
It's a win-win, as they say.
It is. Yeah.
To say in the business world,
you know what?
You've created a new paradigm shift.
Yeah.
You have synergy.
It's just nice. You just hear all these sad stories and close.
It's nice to hear good things.
And it's nice to hear good things. And I think it lets other people in the arts community in Austin know there are solutions. And
well, and I think even specific to that is that it could have been really easy for us, I mean, as a representative of the board for Tapestry, for us to view this as, you know, a competitive relationship, and it really doesn't have to be.
No,
really, there's this greater vision that Tapestry has, and then we had the conversation with Kathy, and she shares it is an elevation of the arts in general in Austin to help make Austin even that much more attractive in all of the ways that can happen. And so to come together and go, let's find a way to collaborate and really lift each other up in a way that benefits everyone. And it's been really a big blessing.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot on this program in terms of, we talk about theater community and the arts community supporting each other, because it's truly an example of a rising tide lifts all boats here.
Absolutely.
So talk to me for a second about Tapestry. So we know that you've got a world-renowned tap program. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you also deal with other forms of dance, other disciplines of dance?
Well, our professional company are multi-form dancers.
Uh-huh.
So one of our company members, Jeremy, is a professor at UT, and Michael teaches hip hop, and Andrea Torres has the Andrea Torres dance company, and they're not tap. So, and when they're in our company at Tapestry, they're some of the most phenomenal tappers that you've ever seen. I don't come from a dance background, and I wasn't experienced with tap at all, and I was floored when I first saw Tapestry.
And now you're doing time steps like it's just drinking a glass of water.
She moved up to that triple.
That's true.
She is learning.
Do either of you guys have any events in the very near future? We're just about out of time. But
yes. Our show of Mice and Music is opening December the
10th. I love it.
Is Lenny a character in it?
No. It is a jazz tap nutcracker with a live jazz band. It's at the Rollins. Opens December the 10th. Runs through the 20th. Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And Saturday and Sunday at 2. It's a great show for kids. And
where can folks go to get more information?
And it's only an hour.
It's within our window.
She sold out to you, Lisa.
Yep.
It's within our window. We can do it.
You can get more information at tapestry.org, and you can purchase tickets at thelongcenter.org.
Great.
And we have a Christmas show coming up as well on December 13th at Life Austin at 5 p.m., and it is called The Reindeer Handler. And so a lot of our kids are participating, and it's going to be a really fun show as well.
Wonderful. And folks can get information about that at balancedancestudio.com.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
I hope you'll stick around and trudge your way to the backstage area and talk with us back there as well.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. That was Etta Sanders, Kathy Dupuy, and Sandy Burton of Tapestry Dance Club. What's your Tapestry Dance Company? I want to make sure you say
the right. Tapestry Dance Company and Academy.
And Academy. Oh, I didn't have that. And Balance Dance Studios. For more information, you may visit tapestry.org or balancedancestudio.com, and we will be right back. Shall we dance? Oh, my God. How much fun was that?
That was a lot of fun.
That was a blast and a half.
I think it's because I like the guests we had on today, too. That always makes it more special.
And you know who else was here?
Who?
The very quiet Rebecca
Robinson. Rebecca Robinson! What up, Rebecca? She's like, I'll stop.
We love her. So listen, remember, folks, we have issues here on the program, so we need you to like us on Facebook.
Please do.
We do.
We want to, like, leave the corner and come out from under the table.
Nicole is a great Twitterer, so please tweet us on Twitter.
I'll tweet you back.
Tweet us and stitch us.
Stitch
us. We need stitching on Stitcher.
Yeah, iTunes.
Yeah.
Comments.
Yeah, please send us a comment.
Like us. Facebook.
Not snarky comments.
No, happy comments.
Happy comments.
Yeah, you know, you could tell us how awesome we are.
And
we're okay with that.
So remember, you can get the podcast. We think you should be listening to that. And then the best way and the easiest way is how.
Oh, Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox. We just arrive. Each week, the show arrives in your mailbox.
Offstageonair.com will come right to you.
We'll come a knocking.
Every whatever night we do it. So the next, if you're listening to the
radio
on the broadcast,
on
Austin Modern News is next. If you listen to the podcast, just stick around, and we are going to we're going to enjoy ourselves backstage. And I see Mark Reshap out there drinking wine with his guests. They look like they're about to have a really good time. So,
you know why? Because it's another bottle down.
It's another bottle down with Mark Reshap. All right. We'll see you backstage. And Nicole and I will see everybody else back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks.
If you want to be a cloud, here is what to do. Follow closely.
Okay. The curtain has just come down on Time Travel the Musical. The story of a young erudite woman in love with a slacker. And their trip on a time machine to the year of 1936. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Lisa.
Oh, it was the music. You're talking about the music.
No, it's the no, show that's we were what, just doing.
I make up shows, and that was it. So here we are backstage after this musical just came down, which is Time Travel the Musical.
Is it still Wednesday?
It is. What? Actually, so now you know we can give up the ghost. Kids, we pre-recorded that. So the joke's on you guys. It's actually really Tuesday.
November 17th.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we are so fantastical.
Yeah, y'all had no idea.
We know what happened yesterday. And you don't.
That's right. So, backstage joining us is most everybody. Taylor Flanagan.
Hello.
Hello, James Speck.
Howdy.
And Sandy Burton.
Hello.
Etta Sanders.
Hiya.
And Kathy Dupuy.
Hello.
So it's actually everybody minus Melissa.
Rebecca and Melissa.
And Rebecca. Well, but Rebecca, love Rebecca. She was very quiet.
She was very quiet. I think she was working.
Okay. So we have a really good, that's what I was about to say, a really good, what's it called?
Trivia question.
That we want to talk about. Right now.
You actually aren't normally excited. You like
this
one.
I'm very excited because I have ideas.
You do. You like this one.
Give us the abbreviated question.
All right, so we're abbreviation now. We're talking about the musical They're Playing Our Song.
Oh, They're Playing Our Song.
That starred Robert Klein and Lucy Arnaz, based on the real-life relationship between Martin Hamlisch and Carol Bayer Sager. And so Arnaz got good notices as Sonia, but wasn't the first choice for the role.
Well, give us the
choice.
Who
was A... Stocker Channing, B, Ellen Green, C, Judy Kaye, D, Meryl Streep, or E, Joanna Gleason.
Okay, anybody guesses? Any guesses?
No.
Kathy, no. Etta, no.
C. Always go with Sierra.
So what is C? What is C?
C is Judy Kaye.
Judy
Kaye. A is Stocker Channing.
Oh, you're going Stocker Channing?
I'm
going
to go with Dean Stockwell.
Okay, good.
I don't recognize a lot of those names.
Okay, it's Judy Kaye.
You're going with Judy Kaye?
It is definitely Judy Kaye.
Okay.
There's no question about it. That is Judy Kaye all the way.
Interestingly enough, it's C. Judy Kaye was the first choice for Sonia. However, Stocker Channing came in later as a replacement. Wow.
Judy Kaye would have been great in that.
Yeah. Judy Kaye would have been great in that.
So, good question.
Oh,
I love
girl,
that.
I got to hook you up with all five of these women are out of this world.
I recognize some of them.
Okay, so Ellen Green, you would know from
Little Shop of Horrors. Okay.
Oh,
Audrey.
Damn.
She did the original and the movie.
Nice.
Yes.
And
okay.
She just did an encore's version of it. Got great reviews.
Yes, the encore.
Cha-ching. All right,
Judy Kaye you may not recognize, but she's a very well-known Broadway performer.
Look at her resume, probably go, oh.
Stocker Channing, you know.
Yes, I do.
Meryl Streep.
Of course.
Don't know. That's the one I wasn't
you
familiar with.
Yeah, that's the one that was most unfamiliar. Joanna Gleason?
Name sounds
you would
familiar.
Absolutely know what she looks like.
If you saw her, you'd know, but she's probably everybody really knows her as the Baker's wife from Into the Woods.
Oh,
original. Yeah. Beginning Into the Woods. Yeah. And she's done a lot of film and stuff. Yes. So you'd be like, oh, I know that face.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
So Kathy Dupuy.
Yeah.
Have you always been a dancer? Are you a dancer?
I am a dancer. I don't teach dance, but I have always loved it recreationally as a way to stay fit. I'm a mom of four and my four
Get dance. Out of town.
I'm so, like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
I got one in college.
No,
I just,
no way.
I sent my oldest off to college this year. So
Wow.
Find ways to stay fit. And so dance is my thing.
Do your kids dance?
They do. All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
My son.
It tends to run in families. Yeah. Actually. Yeah. That's great. And are any of them going to pursue it as a career?
I would say the most promising is my son. He's really good. He's got that contortionist body like a Cirque du Soleil dancer. But my daughter, who's his twin, leans on the musical theater side of things.
We're big fans of musical theater here at on the program.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
It's true.
Can you believe that we like musical theater?
Did you grow up in Texas?
I did, in Houston.
Houston, yeah. Texas. I've heard of that place. It's a little east of here. Did you do dance in Houston?
I did.
Where?
I did in high school. I went to Episcopal High School, and they had a really strong dance program.
So I took dance in Houston, Texas back in the 70s from Patsy Swayze at Studio 7.
Okay.
I took classes at Allegro Ballet Company.
Okay.
From Miss Peggy and Miss Glenda.
Okay.
Tommy Tune.
Oh, yeah.
I took tapping from Tommy Tune's teacher.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
Tapping from Tommy Tune is alliterative.
Tapping from Tommy Tune's teacher.
You got that teacher in there, too.
There you go. And what brought you to Austin?
My husband was in law school, and so we married and moved to Austin and just loved it. Couldn't imagine being anywhere else. So.
And how long ago did you open Balance?
This is our fourth season, so it was.
You said that earlier, but I wasn't paying attention.
2012.
And what caused you to start a dance studio?
That's a big undertaking. Like, hello, today I shall open a dance studio.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of your consummate entrepreneur, and so this is my third business, and I just really when I see something that can be done better or in a different way, I get really excited about pursuing that.
Were the other two in the arts?
No, one is an assisted living home.
Wow.
And the other is a household staffing company that I franchised.
Rock on. Yeah.
I love that you're all over the map, though. Yeah. That's a Liebenstuntler, another life artist.
It's a Liebenstuntler.
I love families, though, which is fun. Right. So the common theme is I love working with families and helping families. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here doing that work. Thanks. And then you've helped Tapestry.
Well, we love Tapestry.
They've helped you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's for sure a win-win situation.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, pulling that out. Go, Lisa.
Yeah, it's a sesquipedalial day. Jam, what's your story? And the truth this time.
Okay.
Jam.
I live here in Austin.
What's JM stand for?
James Michael is my first name.
I thought you weren't going to say. James Michael is your first name.
It's got a hyphen.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Baloney is my first name.
Really?
Yeah.
O-S-C-A-R?
That's right. that made my day. I don't know why, but...
So you do play a mean vampire. So what have you been in the theater business for a long time?
I used to did. I haven't been doing theater lately. In spring, I did... I can't remember the name of the company. We did that thing where we started rehearsal for Shakespeare on Saturday, and then we performed it on Thursday. We performed at your
space. Yeah, she did. That the was that is what's it called?
You're at my space. On something.
It's okay. We got it.
It's got a cool name.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I've done on stage in a while. I do voice acting right now, and
so you do voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. I try to do.
That's not easy to break into.
No. I mean,
do you get to do any of the animation stuff?
I haven't gotten to do animation yet.
Can you get me a job? That's all I really care about.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get in line, Lisa.
No, shut up. This is my show, Taylor.
Chef's
I can do what I want.
Chef's going to take you down, Taylor.
I can't look at these guns.
Oh. Trucks? What are they called?
They're guns.
Guns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Looked
at the Italian from Jersey over here going, is it guns?
I don't know what the kids are saying these days.
It's all good.
So where did you grow up, Jam?
I grew up north of Dallas in Allen, Texas.
Okay. I was going to go. I think there's a song about Allentown, and that's where I was going to go.
That's Billy Joel, and that's Pennsylvania.
No, okay. I think there's a Broadway musical song about.
Because we're living here in Allentown.
No, that's not what I was thinking about. Isn't it from 42nd Street?
She's just a little girl from Allentown. It's a line, but whatever. Yes.
All right. Anyway, so you're from Allentown, Texas.
Uh-huh.
We have arguments about
we do. We argue within ourselves.
I saw.
That's great.
Did you do theater in that area?
I did. I grew up doing theater up there and did it for a number of years before I moved here to Austin.
Do you dance?
Only for fun.
Have you taken dance classes?
I have not.
Okay.
Well, I happen to know what's
I hear there's a really great... So I was like, whoa, it sounds like there's a lot of really good dance classes. I should learn how to do that.
Now, here's my question, and I didn't ask this, but... What about people who haven't danced before? We could all still take a dance class there.
Absolutely.
Like you don't have this could be the first time starting.
Yes, tap 101.
Yeah, and I didn't say this about tap. I know a lot of people that use that are not. I'm going to use air quotes dancers or have any interest in the art of dance. But tap is a really wonderful exercise medium for.
And it's a lot of fun.
My mom had she's in her late 60s now, but at 60 decided to take up. Tapping, she's like, well, if you could do it, you had so much fun, and she's been doing it for years now and loves it.
I think we should have an offstage and on the air tap class.
I would totally go. Do you know? I found my tap shoes in the closet. I had the best tiny and the best thighs when I was tapping.
I have three pairs in my car
ever.
Right now.
Yeah,
heinies and thighs.
Yeah, heinie, your heinie. Buttocks, your heinie, yes. And your thighs, yeah. Your tush.
So, Edda, are you dancing now? Because you said you
am.
You
I
are.
I've never been a dancer at all. Uh-huh. I've had 5 classes. Now, but Asia Gray teaches Tap 101 on Thursdays at 2:30, and I'm up at the studios writing grants and doing the books, and I can just walk out and take a class with Asia. So I was like, okay.
So you've had how many classes?
5.
5 classes, and yes. You have 3 pairs of tap shoes.
Well, they're not mine.
Oh.
I was just thinking, like, those are expensive. You got 3 pairs in there.
We have a bucket of tap shoes up at Tapestry, so when people don't have shoes and just want to try the class for the first time, they can dig through a bucket and find some
shoes. Awesome, because I've had friends say before, like years ago, I'm like, take tap. They're like, yeah, but I have to buy the shoes, and if I don't like it, no.
At Tapestry, you don't even have to buy the shoes.
But, Edda, you have a theater background.
Yes, yes. My BFA is in acting.
Where?
It's Texas State now.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't there. It was that other, it was called
it was
something
South
else.
Southwest.
Southwestern. Yeah. So, but you didn't take dance class as part of your rise to be a star?
I took one dance class. It was terrible.
Which one?
It was jazz.
Oh.
Yes.
Actually,
and that's what I like about tap is it's not dance. It's music. It's rhythm. We don't talk about where you put your arms. Well, not in 101. What you do with your arms or any of that stuff. It's all about listening and
what?
About.
That's what ACS says, right? It's like playing a musical instrument.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, your body is the instrument. It's cool.
Taylor, do you tap? Do you dance?
I have technically taken some classes with ACS.
You have.
Oh, technically you have.
Technically because I took a little over the summer.
Uh-huh.
But then I started taking a class at ACC in ballet.
I want to take ballet.
And
come on.
And I signed up for that for the whole semester. And so showing up to that, I really needed to because of attendance and also because I fell in love with it. And so then it was like, oh, I'm really tired and I could go to tap right now. Or I could sleep in. Oh. So I did the bad thing.
So are you taking like Ballet 101 at this point? Like new ballet?
I'm a new ballet dancer.
Oh, how's that?
That's awesome.
It's really fun.
I mean, I took ballet when I was really little, but I haven't taken it since. And I've often wanted to.
I've never taken ballet
before. I think I need a little grace.
I've never taken ballet before. And I'm taking it at ACC with Kathy Hamrick.
Mm-hmm.
She's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
She did that great dance festival this year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's a phenomenal teacher and human. And so I just I've been taking it for like a few months now.
Lisa, I'll go take classes with you.
Let's
do it. There's all ages
in my spare time.
Everybody and all skill levels. It's They start you from the beginning.
Yeah, I quite frankly I'm scared of the leotard these days. Mm-hmm.
You don't have
to. Hell no. I'm not putting one on.
I intend to start dancing again.
There was naked Olympics.
I'm not walking away.
Tap is wonderful.
I'm not walking away.
Where did you grow
tap.
Up?
I grew up in Austin.
Texas?
I was born and raised here.
You are one of the few born and bred.
You know what? We all say that, but I meet zillions of Austinians.
I've met more lately, but I just don't know.
I meet zillions. I counted.
All right.
Cool. Yeah, because about a month ago I was at Gabillion, and now it's at Zillion.
Nice. Yeah. Did I tip the scale too?
You did. It was at Gabillion.
The bells
9999,
and whistles are going to go off, and the confetti. You were the Zillion. Yeah.
Thank you. High school?
I was homeschooled.
Oh, okay.
From childhood.
You know, we have a group of homeschoolers that come and do shows in our theater.
The Girl Improved.
Girl Improved. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I worked with rock. Them.
Oh, right. Of course, you were there with
I was Taylor there, when I was we their first writing met. Mentor.
That's
how
right. old were you? It was back at Zach when you were.
I started taking classes at Zach when I was 5.
Wow.
Yeah. So anytime after I was 5.
Yeah.
So speaking of Girl Improved, Liliana Sweeten, yeah. who I will do a shout out to her. She is in my show Parade, which opens on December 3rd.
That's awesome.
December 3rd. Yeah. I think it's
yes,
December 3rd.
Yes, you are correct. It's the right date.
Groundfloortheater.org. Tickets awesome. Are $20. Yes, you can say $20
on
the podcast.
You can say
that
here on the podcast. You can tell people to do things.
You can tell. Uh-huh. You must go see it. So Liliana Sweeten is playing Mary Fagan.
And she's got her play that she wrote is going up in the spring.
Yes, right? And they couldn't do it at my theater. So that's right. I forgot that you were there with
Such
them.
Such awesome.
Very,
they,
very proud
they
of
gave us, they came and did part of Peace Day Austin with us this year and brought over some peace stuffs for us to release at Ground Floor Theater and down at City Hall.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
They are.
Kathy's a wonderful human. They're wonderful humans.
There's
I know a
we
lot.
We live in an awesome city with
humans.
Cool, yeah. artistic people.
Sandy, other than being very smart, which we've already ascertained, are you...
past the vocabulary.
Are you artistically inclined as well?
Well, I actually started learning tap a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
So I have now
at what,
graduated
what tap company were you at with?
Well, I actually started taking tap classes in Sausalito, California when I lived there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because I had a really stressful job and I'd heard about this great class on Saturdays and it was adults, meaning all true adults. I was actually the youngest one in the class and everybody loved everybody and it was so much fun. And then we tapped in the 4th of July parade down Main Street in Sausalito.
That's so cool.
And I just was sold from then on. So I lived in Sacramento and didn't tap there and then moved to Austin 5 years ago. This is my second time to live here.
You're from like North Carolina or Kentucky or something. No, where
Texas.
Are you from?
I was like, she's a
really?
Texas girl.
No, that didn't sound Texas to me. That sounded deep south to me. Love it.
I was about to say panhandle area.
And there's a lot of us here in Austin.
Yes, there are. Well, because where else are you going to go?
You got to hightail it out. Jason
Williams.
How long have you been back here?
This time, 5.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, the first time was 8 or 9 years.
And what brought you to Tapestry?
Well, I knew about Tapestry because I had been to a show years and years ago when I was here the first time. They do a show in the spring called Esprit, and it's very multi-form, and they actually involve other organizations, other dance companies that are involved. And so I'd seen that, and I knew of them, and I was like, well, that's where I'm going to go tap. And I went to the 9 a.m. Saturday morning 101 and loved it.
Yeah. And you loved it so much that you signed on to be on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big job. And do you have any other artistic pursuits besides dance?
I picked up the paintbrush a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
And my grandmother was a oil paint. She did oil paints, and she left. And when she passed away, she left me all of her paints, and I didn't do anything with them for a long time. And I finally started that. So I now have 4 paintings.
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow. How would you describe your style?
Well, I like either really giant canvases or really small ones. So my very first canvas was like 4 feet by 6 feet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is big.
That's and I don't know, it's sort of... It's like not
that daunting staring at all that space. I mean, it's your first painting.
It's just like, a lot of color. Like, I like to play with color, but it's not like people or things, you know. It's
okay.
More, I don't
know. A little more abstract.
Modern.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So when are we going to get you on stage? Acting.
Well, I'm actually going to be in Of Mice and Music.
Okay.
I will be a snowflake. Thank you.
Lovely.
I love it.
Will you be tapping away?
Yes, I will be tapping. There will be a crowd of us snowflakes.
Snowing.
Right. I love that.
In our tap shoes.
Well, awesome. Well, you know what? We're plumb out of time. We're just going to tap dance our way out of here.
Yes.
But which, thank which, you guys.
What, tippity tap.
Next week, let's talk about Maurice Hines and the tap show coming off Broadway.
All right. We'll do that. I always love talking about Maurice Hines or Gregory Hines.
Yes. It's
or Hines Ketchup.
Hello.
I like it all.
All of it.
Heinies.
I like
it. Heinies. It's just a hein everywhere.
All right. Well, let's tap dance our way out of the backstage area and go hit the bar. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right. That's it.
Yeah, I meant to tell you about the Maurice Hines last week.